Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:35 on a Friday evening in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Thanks for joining us. Well, if you've been looking for a job and have been getting zero luck on responses from employers, it may not be that you're not a good fit. It could just be that your resume is being discarded by an over-aggressive computerized screening process. Peter Capelli, a professor of management and the director of the Center for Human Resources at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, and the author of the upcoming book, Why Good People Can't Get Jobs, that's coming out this month. He joins me now to talk about what job seekers are now facing and what they can do to land a gig. Peter, thanks so much for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure.
Now, you wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal last fall. Many of the responses you got were from job seekers who said they've been screened out by software now being used by almost all companies to initially consider applicant resumes. What do we know about just how the software evaluates candidates?
Well, just to back up just a little bit, the problem that employers have, and it's a real problem, is that they now get so many applications because there's so many people out of work. And so many people looking for jobs. And a generation ago, or at least 10 years ago, they wanted that because it was harder to find people. So they get all these applicants, and they can't read them all. They can't possibly screen them with human eyes. So they run them through applicant tracking systems, which keep track of them. Or they let people, or they require people to fill out applications online. The problem with these applications is that you can't easily put human judgment into a form. And so what you end up doing with these forms is just a series of yes or no questions that mainly relate to simple experience. And so they end up basically requiring, once you go through that process, that you've done the job before. And if you haven't done the exact job before, you typically don't do well getting through that software, even if you have the skills to do it.
Is it working for employers, though, on their end of it? Are they ending up with the candidates they want since they have so many choices?
No, it doesn't seem to be working for them. I mean, that's the quirky thing about this, which is makes it so unfortunate, is the employers are complaining they can't find people to hire. I mean, the majority of employers in the U.S. report that they are having difficulty finding appropriate candidates. And one of the reasons is, if you set up this software so that there's a series, you know, series of questions, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, you have to clear them all to be qualified. One of those questions is always something like, what wage are you looking for? And if you put down a number that's too high, your application is thrown out. So at some point, it becomes almost statistically or probability-wise impossible for anybody to get through the system.
What's the strategy then for a job seeker? Should you lowball the salary you're asking for and maybe slightly embellish what your experience might be?
Well, it probably does make sense to lowball your salary, but that probably also means that you might get stuck with a salary that's pretty low. Maybe at least you get the offer. I think in terms of embellishing your experience, you don't want to lie. That's a reason for you getting fired. And I think you're a little bit stuck given the way they ask the questions, which really are things like, you know, have you worked with this piece of equipment? Have you worked with this software? You have to be able to defend what you've said to a real person if you ever make it through the entire system and end up being actually able to talk to a recruiter.
I'm talking to Peter Capelli. He's the author of the upcoming book, Why Good People Can't Get Jobs. What kind of advice do you have then for those who are facing this this system? It's this computerized, almost matrix-like reality now that we're facing in the job market.
You know, I think it wouldn't surprise your listeners to hear that it's always a good idea to try to get around these systems. Find somebody that you know inside the organization. Find, if you can, somebody that you can actually talk to. You know, so many people know that the companies try to put up all kinds of barriers to make it difficult for you to actually talk to somebody.
Like, would one idea be to go to the website of the company, find a few email addresses of some officials there, and just send them directly an email, or might that turn them off somehow?
I think you're probably better off seeing if there's somebody that you know, or you can find a connection to somebody in the company that somebody will make an introduction for you. I think you know, the companies often disguise their email addresses, and I think the kind of address that you're likely to find online is unlikely to be the kind of person who's ever hiring, and they're not going to bother to read your resume and try to find somebody in the company who might be hiring. So I think you're better off trying to get a personal introduction to somebody who can help you navigate your system.
Now, what about these young people now coming out with English degrees, you know, degrees that are hard to get jobs with compared to math, science, engineering? Do you have advice for them? Do you think someone considering a major right now should think twice about kind of a general liberal arts degree?
Well, I got one of those kids. I have a son who's a classics, got a classics degree, can't find a job. But then, you know, there's kind of a myth that if you have one of these science backgrounds, you're going to get a job as well. For the most part, employers, if you look at the survey data, they're trying to hire people who've already got experience. They want somebody with 3 to 5 years' experience. Very few companies are hiring people right out of college. Those who are hiring people right out of college are looking typically for quite specific skills. You know, say for people say, for example, the engineering market is hot. Well, it's only hot for quite specific fields of engineering. So it's very hard to know. I would say don't worry about the job market, at least at first. You know, if you can get a degree in something where you learn a lot, and then maybe you've got to go back to school to get vocational experience, mm-hmm. or find some way to work your way up. But it's also a pretty big bet to try to guess, for example, which field is going to be hot in 4 years when you graduate, because sometimes that doesn't work out. Look at the field of nursing, for example, where everybody was told, gosh, there's this huge shortage of nurses. There's not a shortage anymore.
Who's got the advantage out there, the young people with limited experience or these older people in the job market in their 50s trying to get a new job? You know, they might have the experience, but, of course, age is a factor.
That's a very good question, and it points to one of the fallacies in the skills gap sort of myth stuff, and that is, you know, older workers, particularly those around retirement age, have exactly what employers say they want. You know, they don't want to have to train people. They want people who've got experience actually doing the work. And yet there's so much discrimination against older individuals that it could actually be that younger workers have an advantage, even though they don't have the skills that employers say they want, because there's less discrimination against young people.
Now, let's go into a day of someone looking for a job. You wake up in the morning, you put your laptop on the bed. Maybe you're not laying down in bed. Hopefully you're sitting at a table. But so you begin the process. Is the idea, you think, should you hit that submit button a couple times and then what? And then begin to try to find personal contacts? Obviously, you won't know somebody in each company you're applying for, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. It probably makes sense to not try this shotgun approach to just apply for everything. You know, if it doesn't look like you're a good fit for a job these days, the odds that anybody's going to try to make an exception for you are close to zero. So, and it's also just discouraging, you know, to send out thousands of resumes and never hear anything back. So it makes sense to spend your time, you know, looking for jobs where you think you really can fit. But it also makes sense, and again, none of this is exactly new, to try to get close to people, network with people, and try to get information on what's actually going on. A lot of people are going back to community colleges and looking for practical skills. Mm-hmm. That probably makes sense as well. But, you know, there's no guarantees because so many people are doing things which sound exactly right to do, and there's just not enough jobs to go around.
A choice between an internship or a menial job that may not, you know, maybe far beyond your degree, such, you know, potentially doing some food service work or retail. Which of those paths do you think is a smart way to go?
Well, internships, obviously, if you can afford them, if they don't pay as much, are obviously better. I'd say the one exception is if you're doing a menial job in an organization that has some sort of possibilities for advancement from within. Sometimes, too, working even in a kind of lower-level job in an organization that's got a high brand value, you know, that people believe that if you spend some time there, you must have learned some things useful. You know, if you work at the most prominent employer in your region, for example, maybe that's not such a crazy thing to do. But in general, if you're taking a longer-term view, you want to go to those jobs where you're learning something that might be valuable in some later context.
In your time working in human resources and studying the job market, is this the toughest job market you've seen?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think there's no doubt of that. 1981, when I entered the job market, was previous worst job market. But before that, you got to go back to the Great Depression to see anything as bad as this. This is, you know, we're now getting into our fourth year of this downturn, and, you know, it's really hasn't improved very much.
I see. Well, I guess we'll be able to tell our kids the story of how, you know, back when in the 2012s when things were really tough, right?
It's some consolation, I guess, yeah.
Peter Capelli, the author of the upcoming book, Why Good People Can't Get Jobs. Peter, when is that book coming out?
Today. So it's out today.
Today it is out. Excellent. I'm guessing they can get it online.
Electronic books are the thing now, so you can get it from any of the electronic book dealers.
All right, Peter, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to the author of a book on, it's on the KKK. It's on his opposition to hate groups and his approach towards hate, and he's got a unique one. That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.